Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM? Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca L. Norrington, and today we have a guest Sid Cartwright, who has been on the show before and is a fascinating young man. I like to say it's street spirituality. It's the real deal, the real talk. But before I get to my guest, I want to share with my new listeners what this show is about. What is Reality Spirituality? Who am I? New listeners, thank you so much for being for listening and being part of the show. This show is a live, interactive talk with me and you every Sunday at 7 a.m. And what we do is, what I do is talk about real life issues and how do we get to a place of peace and contentment, regardless of what's going on in this world, regardless of the ups and downs, regardless of our biggest challenges, regardless of how we're feeling. How do we get to a place and have peace and contentment as our foundation? And sometimes, you know, people use that word happiness. I certainly use it. I'm a happy, self-proclaimed happiness specialist. And that is really the deal. I mean, when you look at it, when you think about it, when you really think about it, what is more important? I mean, I'm asking this question. I'm asking to you. What is more important than being happy or being content, being at peace? All of those words to me are the same. I talk about words and labels and how words can trip humans up, and your definition of happiness is different than my definition of happiness, and that might be true. So let me just be really clear, and let me really get to the nitty-gritty, the least common denominator, like I love to say. The least common denominator, my definition of happiness, of peace, of internal contentment, is standing in the middle of you're in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. You're in a rowboat. You're all by yourself, and you know that Atlantic Ocean, the waves up, down, storms, wind. It can be peaceful. Of course, I don't know if the Atlantic Ocean is ever peaceful, but that's neither here nor there. It's peaceful at the bottom of the ocean. I know that. So you're standing in this rowboat, and you're all by yourself, and you're up and you're down, and the waves are hitting you, crashing, but you still have a sense of calmness and of peace, and you're still okay, and you're still able to smile, and you're still, quite frankly, even able to laugh and to find humor and to find good in all of life's challenges. That is my definition. Simply put, happiness is being okay and being at peace regardless of what happens, and being at peace and being okay regardless of what isn't happening. So if you're with me on that, you found the right show. I also want to say that you're welcome to call in and be part of the show if you have any questions for me or for our guest. Sid is on today. It's very rare that he comes on live. Area code 646 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. And before I get to Sid, I'm going right to him right after this. I want to share with my new listeners where you can find me. You can email me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com. My website is RebeccaNorrington.com. That's RebeccaNorrington. You can follow me on Twitter at RLNorrington. And after you listen to the show, before you listen to the show, tell your friends, go to Facebook at Reality Spirituality and like our Facebook page. And without further ado, I want to introduce Sid Cartwright, who this is, I like to say, is, you know, we actually don't have the same likes, we don't have the same interest. There is one thing that we have in common. Well, there's more than one. We like to eat. We definitely like to eat. And the other thing is that we have been seeking answers and searching for answers for as far as I can remember, and Sid has said this before on the show, just searching for these answers, wanting to find the answers for why we're here, who I am, what is our purpose, but really when you get down to the nitty-gritty is who individually, who are we? And Sid, welcome to Reality Spirituality, but I want to share a really quick story with you. I was talking to my son yesterday, Nathan, who coincidentally his birthday is today. He's 31 years old. And this kid, he's so annoying because at 31 years old, he comes up with this. Are you ready for this, Sid? Welcome to the show.
Good. Thank you. Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, listen to this. So he says, you know what, Mom? I used to think that I was looking for who I was, what my purpose. He didn't say my purpose, but he said, who am I? What do I like? What do I, you know? And he said, you know what? I stopped doing that because I really know who I am. I know who I am, but what I need to do, or not, he didn't say need, but what I'm doing now, he says, my new thing is shedding who I am not. Can you believe this kid at 31 shedding who I am not?
Go ahead, Nate. That's
so,
what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and so I have to say that my second book that's going to be coming out, Program for Unhappiness, is really about that, getting down to who we really are and shedding all of these programs and all of this stuff that when I was younger, conditioned to believe who I was, and I was even acting out as this person. I tell the story that when I was taking a Myers-Briggs test, and that's a very extensive test. It's a personality test with over 100 questions. This was way, way, maybe 20 years ago, a long time ago. And when I finished being tested, I looked at the test and I said, this isn't me. I mean, I didn't even feel like the person that it was describing. And I kept looking at that person. I even took the test again. And I kept looking at the results, and I'm thinking, it felt like a shoe that just didn't fit. And then I said, but I know this person. I know this person that I was tested at, but it's not me. And that person, did I ever tell you this story?
No, I never heard this one.
Yeah, and listen, that test took almost 2 hours to take because it's a long test. Then you have to calculate the answers. Then you have to find the results. So it was really a long test. And so I recognized the person that I was tested as. He was very familiar to me. It was my father. I tested as my father. And so from that point on, and this was way back in the day, I think I was in my late 20s, early 30s, even though I'm, you know, 35 right now. back in the day, I was a light bulb that went on that I'm not even acting or speaking or writing down answers who I am, who I really am. So it began my journey of finding out who I am, but even more to the point, shedding who I am not.
I like it.
So can you relate to that at all? Do you have maybe an analogy or a story in your life that relates to that?
Okay, well, listen, so I was just thinking about it yesterday. It's crazy that you're talking about it. But so yesterday I was thinking there's a program out there, and it starts early. And so when you go to your first dance, or if you see someone you like, or whatever the case may be, you're supposed to get up and somehow or another relay the message that I like the girl or whoever it is you like, and then they're supposed to respond. But you're supposed to be the one to be aggressive. I mean, that's just the way it worked. In the schools that I went to, the boys that I was raised with, that's how we – but I never felt right asking – a girl or anybody. I never felt right being aggressive. Never, like ever in my life. So if I could have it my way, I was just going to sit there and I don't know, but something was supposed to happen, but I wasn't supposed to do anything. That's what felt right. But all my life approaching hello or hi, or if you want something, you ask for it, and all. And finally, I've conceded to the fact that, you know, I seem, everything seems to be working out, and when I'm not aggressive. I've shed it, like Nathan. I've shed it that program of I'm supposed to be aggressive, the man, or whatever the case may be, and I'm just seeing now. So, and see it just sits there, and things just work out, you know, or they don't work out, or whatever the case may be. But it sure feels good just being me now.
Well, you, and I don't know where that started, and I don't know if that's just with the United States, but you're talking about making the first move, and the guy is supposed to make the first move. And let me tell you, my programming, now that you're on it, thank you very much, is my programming was the girl never made the first move, ever. Ever, yeah. Ever, 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 ever. The girl does not make the first. And I can't even tell you how I learned it, when I learned it, if I learned it from my father or if I learned it from TV. I don't even know when, but I knew. I don't know how, but I knew that I was not supposed to make the first move. And I can count on one hand how many times I have, listen, if I'm out, this is when in my younger days, and when I'm out, and I see somebody that I like or see a guy I like, and then I went to him and gave him my phone number. And I'm telling you, I felt like I was it was going against all the rules that I was programmed to believe. But the interesting thing is, for me, it's really not about right now in my day-to-day life right now. I'm going to do what I'm inspired to do. I don't have these rules about the girl makes the first move, the guy makes the first move, and that's that. What I do, and I just did this 2 weeks ago, listen to this one, Sid. Let me tell you about this. I was in the building, in the office where I work, and I was in the elevator, and there was a gentleman who I'm looking at him thinking, wow, he's got an interesting energy. And I don't know if it was drawn to his energy, but I was interested in it. He got off the elevator on the second floor. I was going to the ground floor, and I said, I want to talk to him. I didn't know why. I didn't know for what reason. I didn't have any kind of intention other than to make an acquaintance and make a connection. And after I actually had a little cart and I was taking it to the mailroom, and after I came back, I saw that he went up to the second floor. So on the second floor is the cafeteria. And I took my little crazy rear end, okay, this is my show. I took my crazy ass and I went into the cafeteria and I put my cart down and I followed him into where he was ordering his breakfast burrito. And I said, hi. And he looked at me and he said, you go in front of me. The bottom line is this, it doesn't even matter, but the bottom line is this, I felt inspired to talk to him and connect with him for that moment, and the hell with the programming. It's just, it really comes down to there are no rules. And if there is a rule, rules can be broken. And if they can be broken in this moment, say you're not comfortable in one moment making a first move or saying hi first. In, maybe in another month you will with another person or who, it doesn't even matter who it is. But this programming of I can't do this, I can't do that, I could do this, I could do, should do this, should do that, is a bunch of crap. What do you think?
Well, I'm totally with you. It was just that, you know, like you said, the programming, you have to do it this way. You know, you're not even taught that just do what you're inspired. I mean, no one told me that. I never heard anything about do what you were inspired. So I was only taught to do what you're supposed to do. And so that's what you're trying to put that circle into, that make it work. And it's just, it's so nice to shed all of the rules and just, man, I'm absolutely agree with you. Then just flow with your inspiration.
Now, what I want to ask you, if you don't mind, is that you have your position, your job. Let's say this: your job puts you in contact with a lot of different people from a lot of different walks of life, from a lot of different countries, a lot of different areas. And you recently told me about, working with this group of people from Samoa. And you called me and you were talking about working with the group of people from Samoa. Samoa is the country, right? Yes. I hope I don't sound goofy. Samoa is the country, right?
Yep. Yep. Mhm.
Yeah. And so working with them, and then you said you felt a different vibe than, because, let me just throw this out, because you I remember you said you were in. This is just to give the audience an idea. You're talking about being when you were in Paris, and you said Paris, the people in Paris, it's just like New York on steroids. And then I remember you gave a definition of the people in India, and I'm talking about a vibe that you feel, that you're feeling, and just is you came back talking about that. This thing in the United States, talking about real oppression and slavery, and like India is one of the worst that you felt. Do you remember saying that to me? This was years ago.
Yeah, I remember something like that, definitely.
Yeah, and so please share with my audience, because this is something that I didn't know and I had never heard of, but you talked about these people from Samoa and how their vibe is, and share with the audience what you've learned from them.
Well, and I think that, you know, first of all, I think vibrations, you know, culture, weather, food supply, I think all these things have you know, an effect, the religion, all that on your culture. And I had a chance to go to Maui, I went to Humboldt State up in Eureka, California. I find that when you go to certain environments, the vibration changes, and you know, the islanders a little more mellow, laid back, slower pace, and so, you know, the people I've been working with, they just, you know, the pace is so, it's just a very easygoing,
it's just a easygoing mellow. Now, so you're talking, because you've been, I remember when a long time ago, we were in New York for something with Nathan, and you just, it does, in other words, their vibration, the vibration that you're talking about, yeah, not the energy, but the vibration is totally different. So there is a vibration that we all have. We all are vibration. And so there is a match, an energy match, a vibrational match to each person. I'm talking about on the planet, just like we're as different as our fingerprints, there is an energy vibrational match. And so tell us how this, you know, you're talking about working with these people in Samoa, and so give, like, you were telling me a story about getting the car washed.
Yeah, well, and that's just it. It's like, you know, there's certain things that are important. And certain things that aren't important, and certain things that have to be done. And when you go to different, you know, their culture, you know, and it was just that I don't really know how to describe it in words. All I know, and not that washing the car isn't important, it's just that things that are done, and some of the things that aren't done, they're not done, and we'll get them done without all of the anxiety that goes behind. You know, you live in a city like Los Angeles, grow up here, you know, there's a certain pressure you feel to have things a certain way. And just being around different culture, to me, and only because it fits with anality, I would if you put me around a bunch of guys that wanted to create, you know, some Microsoft chips or something like that, and they were really ambitious about it, I probably wouldn't be the person you would send. But if you want to send a guy and, you know, you like talking about different things and sipping on a cup of coffee, I'm your man. And certain personalities, and not that I didn't find anyone in Paris that was mellow. It's just that the majority of the people seem to have a high speed pace, and you know it wasn't that I didn't, you know, feel good vibrations, you know, from time to time, or vibrations that were compatible, not good vibrations, but you know, the things, people that match my personality. That's all.
Right, and so let's get back to that. And you said that because that's really important. And then when I'm talking about being programmed, it's really up to the individual to distinguish whether this is a program within me to achieve, to want, to you know, this thing about having and getting more money and doing more things and accomplishing more, and even me with writing and writing a second book and blah blah blah. Is it really the pressure? Is it am I supposed to do it, or is it a joy? Is it a joy? Is it a work of, is it a labor of love to do it? It's a big difference. And so I just want to share with my audience that it's up to you to really determine whatever you're doing. It doesn't matter what it is. Are you doing it because you're inspired and you're loved and you're driven and you're passionate? Or are you doing it because you think you're supposed to accomplish, supposed to? And that's a really big thing to shake. And let me just throw back to that damn son of mine yesterday. Nathan was talking about, he said he's 31, and then he shared with me yesterday that, because come on, these kids, or not these kids, let me just talk about him and behind his back. And he said, I asked him, could I share this? And he said, yes. And he was talking about being pressured to, because he's in New York, he's a performer, he's a triple threat, dancer, singer, actor, and just wanting to be on stage and wanting to be, quote, famous and wanting all of that stuff. And then yesterday he told me, he says, you know what, Mom, and wanting to be rich, that was one of his things. And I said, he said, you know what, Mom, I'm really, and remember he said, talking about shedding what I'm not, shedding who I'm not. He says, if I'm happy at things that I'm, whatever I'm doing, and I'm okay with my surroundings and happy doing it, what difference does it make if I'm rich or not? He says, being rich isn't really a, in other words, it's not a goal, or it's not what the end goal anymore. It's just being, he says, because that, he says, because that, in other words, it's not really his goal anymore to be famous or to be rich. And it's really his goal is to be more at peace. And I mean, I don't know about you, but at 31 years old, I was still looking for and still on this hamster wheel, just spinning my wheels, looking and wanting and more and just buying into the programming, if you will. Now, he doesn't know if he's going to be, if he's not going to be, that's not the point. But his desire to have that, the famous and the having being rich is definitely not, because it causes a lot of anxiety and a lot of pressure. He says, I want to do things that are going to be fulfilling and happy for me. And the other stuff might be just icing on the cake. Hello? Oops. Uh-oh. Okay.
Unmuted. Hello?
Okay, okay. There I am. There you are. Did you hear anything I said? Please don't.
Yeah, I got cut off and I had to call back. But yeah, I got the gist of what you were saying. So if you could say that last part, I don't know if you want to.
So yeah, that's okay, because I was just talking about, he was saying that Nathan was talking about being rich or being famous and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
If it happens, it happens. But for it to be the end goal is not his thing anymore.
Well, I mean, at Nathan's age, I had no idea what a program was. I was so underneath it that I wouldn't know that I didn't even know anything about seeking peace. You know, I thought that peace was the square footage in your home and the type of car you drove and the amount of money you had in the bank. I thought that equaled peace, but to have an idea like, just being yourself and being okay with that being the ultimate goal just brings a smile to my face. That's all.
and so the thing, and it, listen, for me, I have to say it's been a struggle to really get rid of or to not focus on these programmed goals, and to have, you talked about the group of people from Samoa, and then you said if they're running late, it's okay if they're, in other words, there's no pressure. You told me that they said don't drive in the fast lane, drive in the slow lane, and then you said that the country, the whole country, the speed limit is 25 miles an hour. Seriously, 25 miles an hour in Samoa, and then you said that the dry cleaners, there isn't even a dry cleaner in the whole country. So what I'm really saying is, it depends on where you're living and what you're taught, but it's up to that individual to really recognize, okay, this is where I am. Am I getting pressure from the outside world? Am I getting pressure to do all this stuff? Or is it something that I really want to do? Do I really have this drive to? And listen, it's all good. We're all here to grow and to learn and to expand. And I don't want to say that one is better than another, because it's not. But I just want to give my audience choices as to, this journey right now is a quick one, a real quick one. And I don't know, I'd rather spend the majority of my time being at peace.
Yeah, and that's the advantage of living in different places, experiencing different people, trying different foods. I mean, then you find out who you are. I mean, if you continue to do things as you've done them throughout your life, you never know what you may find that you're more apt to accept. So it's being exposed to different people, different cultures, reading different books, eating different foods. I encourage it. And Nathan running off to New York at the age, I mean, come on. I was scared. I could never have done that. But he goes out there and he experiences all different types of food, culture, people, and he finds his place, he finds his way. And so I think that, you know, I really salute you and Nathan, because you both, in my opinion, are like major adventurers. And you go out in Iceland. Who's going to Iceland? I mean, but if you go there and you find out the things that you love that you never even knew. And I just, yeah, and so a lot of the times I live vicariously through you two, because I'm not so adventurous.
No, you're not, no. But see, that's the joy in all of it. And let me just say this to my audience. I really, my point is this. In fact, one of the reasons why my son on his birthday is so into finding these answers and shedding who he is not is because now, for the first time in his life, he doesn't have a roommate. And Nathan has had a roommate since he was born, and I was one of his roommates. And now he's by himself, living by himself. And I have to say that alone time is necessary, at least for me and for Nathan, necessary to really determine this programming of living with some and living with somebody. And not that there's anything wrong with it, but there also comes a freedom with living alone and being able to really determine. I didn't know what I liked and what I didn't like until I lived alone. So that's just another thing. But I want to share something that happened to me this week. That is, I was going to wait until next week to share it, but now that you're on the phone, I want to share it. And let me just say one thing with my audience. Let me give you a warning, not a warning, but just a heads up. I'm okay. I'm physically okay. No need to worry. I'm good. But on Wednesday, February the 17th, this week on Wednesday, February 17th, at approximately 5:45 in the evening, I was in California. I'm in California. It was raining. I just finished teaching one of my bodyworks class. I teach aerobics. I've been teaching aerobics for 35 years, and I just finished teaching my aerobic class. And I was coming out of the gym. I had an umbrella in my left hand, and I was rolling my little gym bag in my right hand. And I was in the parking lot, and you know how parking lots have aisles. And so I was crossing one aisle to go to the next aisle. And there was a car coming on my left, and the car was going to make a left into the aisle. Now, I look up, and I see this car coming. And I'm, you know, looking, and the car is coming, and it's not slowing down, and it's coming right at me, and it's not slowing down, and my eyes get big, and I'm, you know, I snap to the conclusion, the correct conclusion, that I'm going to get hit by a goddamn car, excuse my language, and I got hit by a car.
Mm.
I got hit by a car. Now, it knocked me over, and when I saw that the car wasn't going to slow down, I did what I always do when I'm in a situation like that or in a situation that I started screaming. I started screaming, and then I started running because I knew that the car wasn't going to slow down, and then I had to start running because I didn't want the car to hit me right in the center. If it hit me right in the center, I who knows what was going to happen. But the car hit me on the driver's side with the left, right around the headlight. That's where I was hit, and it hit me so hard that it knocked me down, and I fell on my right hand and my right knee and my right hip. Now, I'm telling this story publicly because And quite honestly, at the time, I was in shock. I was on the ground. I think I started crying. I didn't start crying like. I was really in shock. I was hurt. I could feel my hand. I could feel my knee. And the woman got out of the car and she says, "Are you okay? Are you okay? What can I do?" And she kept asking me questions. And I knew that was annoying. So I told her, I said, "Stop asking me questions." I said, "I don't know if I'm okay." And she was very nice. And she walked me to my car. And I know I was in shock because all I got was, I asked her, "Are you moving around or something?" Hello?
No, I'm not.
You know, I'm wondering what is that noise? But anyway, that's me, and so she helps me with my bag. I get her driver's license. I ask her to, because I couldn't even write. I was still shaking, and so she wrote in my phone on the notes her driver's license number, and her phone number. I didn't even think to get the insurance. I didn't even think to get the plates, because I was in shock. And make a long story short, I actually filmed a video, maybe 5 minutes. I tried to put it on Facebook, but it didn't go through. Anyway, this is my point. This is the point. At the time, I went home. Let me just finish the story. And I went home, and I put ice around my wrist. I went to the police station. I filed an incident report. I went to emergency because I knew it wasn't broken, because if it was broken, I knew it would have been really, really painful. It was throbbing. My hand was throbbing and my knee was swollen, but I didn't feel like it was broken, maybe a fracture, maybe a strain. Because if you break something, I've heard that it's – Nathan broke a wrist before, and it's just really, really painful. So I knew it wasn't broken, but it was still throbbing. And I made a decision to go to the doctor the next day because I went to the emergency and that was another 2 hour wait. And I said, I can sit up and ice this for until the morning. The bottom line is this. The practicing, I always talk about, you practice, it's a skill, being happy and being content. It's a skill that you practice. And think God that for years and years I've been practicing that everything is in order. There is something good that's going to come out of this. I don't know what the hell it is now. This is just going to, it's another ability for me to grow. And listen to this, Sid. The woman was really nice. The woman that hit me was a nice lady. And the next day, I remember telling the story to my class, because I teach a class, The Importance of Happiness, in Arcadia, California. And I remember asking them if they've ever had a bad day. Do you have a bad day? You lose your wallet. You spill coffee on yourself. You have a bill that came to your house. You didn't know about it. Now it's $1,000 that you owe. Oh, and by the way, your parent died, and it was on the same day. And I asked them, I said, "Is that a bad day?" And they said, "Yeah, it's a bad day." And I said, "What if you get hit by a car? Is that a bad day?" And they all said, "Yeah, that's a bad day." And I said, "Well, I got hit by a car yesterday." And my point is this. This life is about the experience without labels. The labeling, it's a good, it's bad, it's good, it's bad, is another programming to label something good, label something bad. It's really not. It's not good, it's not bad, it's the experience, And if I hadn't been practicing that, and if I wasn't, in other words, I would have been just not only in shock, but I don't know. There's a lot of people get hit by cars, but to come back from it and now to be able to make a joke about it. I mean, can you imagine, don't tell anybody, can you imagine if there was a video camera on my face when I saw that car coming and it was not slowing down? And zoomed in on a close-up of my eyes and my eyebrows and how big they must have been, and then me scurrying away like, you know, trying to run and jog away from a car, and then bam, getting hit, and the headlines read, happiness specialist gets hit by a car. And so that's what I'm talking about. I'm not, there's no way this life is going to be just smooth, cool, no trials, no tribulations, no challenges. But to have experiences, and yeah, okay, I'm in shock. I shed a tear. I was hurt. But to be able to bounce back and talk about it and be okay with all of it, that's what I'm talking about, people, when I say happiness and contentment and joy. Sid, your take on it.
I think you're crazy. I told you to go to the hospital. I tell you, get out. He called me the next morning. I'm on my way to work. My knee's sore and my hand hurts. And but you know what? A testimony to, like you said, practicing that, keep staying calm, staying balanced, knowing that. You know, that ultimate thing of knowing that everything is going to work out and things are in divine order. I mean, having that mindset during the storm is a whole nother, you know, it takes quite a bit of, I don't know, it takes, you know, just consciousness in order to do that. And so, yeah, I gotta give it up. I was a little rattled and I didn't get hit. And I have to say I really I got into how you were flowing with all of it. It was very inspiring and just, you know, just taught me a lot just about how to just, I mean, because I thought that situation was kind of crucial and should have been taken a little, well, I don't know, but it was handled perfect. And I really, it was a sign of your spiritual growth, I really have to say.
Well, thank you, but I didn't really, and thank you for the, you know, thumbs up and all that. But what I want to share with my audience is, if I can do it, you can do it, audience. You can do it. I can do it. You can do it. And it's really a commitment. And I'm not running around here just patting myself on the back. Trust me. But a lot of things that I get from people, my students and people that talk to me, is, but it's so hard, Rebecca, but it's so hard. And I get that a lot. I get that response a lot. And listen, it's hard to play Carnegie Hall. It's hard to be LeBron James. It's hard to be Michael Jordan. It's hard to be the world's a surgeon. Of course it's hard, but when you make the commitment and that you make it a priority, and it's a daily priority. It's a daily priority. And sure, of course, there are some times when, hey, okay, I'm done with this, and life's up and down. But what I'm saying is, when you really commit and make it a priority, and you want to be able to go back, to fall back on your foundation of trusting, surrendering, that this life isn't what I want, what I see. This is, life is really about, like you said, divine order. And okay, universe, so apparently, you know, you wanted me to get hit by a car. And how am I going to react to it? Well, I have another question for you, my dear Sid Cartwright.
I'm ready.
So taking responsibility for your happiness, how, when people say it's hard, what do you answer to that? What do you say?
Well, you always talk about it. That's just another label. So if you say it's hard, what is that? You know what? You've been programmed to say it's hard, and then when you hear that word, you're programmed to say, oh, that's a bad. Well, I just say, you know, it is. It just is. So I wouldn't put a label on it. And the adventure is getting up and doing it, trying again. I mean, if you don't get into the journey of it all, and it's all about the goal and all about the outcome, then you got a long ride ahead of you. Because, I mean, according, you know, the way things work in my life, like you said, there's going to be some up days, down days, sideways days, and they're all going to be mixed in there. And to get too excited about one and depressed about the other, I just don't think that doesn't work well for me. So I've tried to do away with the labels, bad and good and all such as that. I try to do away with it as much as possible and just stick with the fact, okay, listen, what's coming down is coming down. And I have, you know, I've kind of released as much control over it as I can. You know, I'm not in power, and I just go with the flow. And so I think that is the it's the way to peace. And I would avoid labeling, you know, as much as you can, because if it's hard, the first thing my body does is resist. And now I don't want to get up and try it again. But if I just say, okay, it's just life, then for some reason or another, it just makes it easier to get up.
Now let's in our last topic, just a real quick. I want you to share your thoughts about who is control, who is in control of what happens. Who is in control of what happens to you, and in your opinion?
No, I kind of, in my opinion, I'm leaning towards more and more that, like I was telling you one time, if I could be who I wanted to be, I would design my body a certain way. I would have a certain height, certain weight, and all the things that I think make a person look perfect, okay? If I were in control, I probably wouldn't be living where I live or driving what I drive if I were in control of all these things. But I've accepted that my control is limited to my attitude. And the other thing, I'm finding less and less that I have less and less control over them. And that philosophy fits me, because just the attitude, being in, you know, having involvement in my attitude is enough for me. And releasing all of the power to control circumstances that happen. For example, you get hit by a car. That wasn't what you designed for the perfect evening, I don't believe. But that's the situation that occurred. And so now what power do you have? You have only one power in that situation, and that's your attitude. And that's why more and more I'm feeling that circumstances are beyond my control, but the ability to be able to control that one fundamental just root subject, and that's that personality, and that's the attitude, is making all situations, in my opinion, you know, different experiences that work better for me.
Well, I like it. And again, audience, it's really an individual journey, and looking and searching, and quite frankly, it keeps me busy. I'm never bored. There's never anything there's never anything that I don't have to do. I'm always, be in the moment, practice being in the moment, practice, all of this practice. It's this journey for me, it's a whole lot of freaking practice. And I've come to the conclusion that that's exactly what it is. And then practice and then sharing how. And you said, for me, eliminating labels, all labels. Labels subtract from your peace. Labels subtract from your contentment without exception, because all labels require a judgment. And we all know that judgments subtract from happiness also. So with that, I want to thank you again for being on the show. I really appreciate your input. I love when you're on, and if anybody wants to, there's a lot of people in the queue. If you want to ask a question, now's your time. Just press the number one button, and you can be connected. It's totally up to you. If not, I don't mind listening. And that's another thing. Let me just say this. Accepting other people, really looking at accepting other people and being okay with whatever these people are doing, with whatever they're thinking, whatever their points of view are, acceptance is big too. I remember I would look at anybody, my mother, my coworkers, people, strangers on the street, drivers, and find fault. And it really comes down to acceptance, not only acceptance of others, but before you can accept others, you must accept yourself, and accept yourself with everything and all of it, and be patient. Patience is a real key too. So with that, I want to say thank you for listening to Reality Spirituality. It's heard every Sunday morning at 7 a.m. And you, again, if you want to email me, you can email me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com. Go to my website, which is RebeccaNorrington.com, which is RebeccaNorrington. And also go to Facebook, Reality Spirituality, like the Facebook page. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. Thank you again for listening to the show. I want you to remember, my audience, who you are. You are an extension. You are extension of the universe. You are consciousness. You are a conscious being in a physical body. You're always evolving. You're always changing. You're always growing. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. We'll connect again next week. Thank you for listening to Reality Spirituality. Love you all. Thank you.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality Spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real.
Good now.
Get real good.
Now,
that's
what I'm talking about.